He wants to take us out of our everyday noise, right? The distractions, the pulls, the things that where you feel like everyone needs different things from you at all times. And he's like, no, come away with me. He says, I have something for you, a gift. He has gifts for you in the secret place. Things he wants to share with you, things he wants to bless you with. It says he sings songs of joy over you. Like, let that sink in. What? He sings songs of joy over me. He delights in me. And I think that that takes all the guilt, all the shame of like, have I not been doing enough for God? No, this is an invitation. You're not just invited, you're wanted by him. Well, hello, you guys. Welcome back to Talks with Tori. This is episode 2. We are doing this thing, you guys. I'm so excited. Genuinely, thank you for just tuning in. And my hope is that you feel like you're just sitting on the couch with me and we're having a conversation about Jesus and we're encouraging each other in the Word of God, okay? Because genuinely, I am kind of laughing. I always told Chad, like, typically I'm not the person who, like, overly prepares for any type of video. When Chad and I first started YouTube, he would always ask me like, what's the plan for the video? Or like, do you have notes or anything? And I'm like, no, I just want to talk about this topic and see where the Holy Spirit leads. And I do love that. Like, I genuinely feel like I thrive in that atmosphere. But as I was diving into the text that we're going to be in today, I was like, whoa, there is so much meat here. And we need to go into all this together. So I do have a ton of notes today. So I just need y'all to like buckle up. I need you to have your Bibles, maybe even a notepad. If you're like sitting down, if you're in the car, obviously don't do that. If you're doing the dishes, like do your thing and hopefully just, you know, really let this sink in because this text is so pivotal. And I think it's really, really important, genuinely. And what I hope is that your heart is really receptive to hear today. And that's always my hope and goal for Talks with Tori is that we can sit down, we can dive into his word, and we can be encouraged in a way that creates this hopeful expectancy and preparedness for his coming, like genuinely. Like, I know I said this on episode 1, but there's just something in me right now that's like, man, I really do want to live every single day like Jesus could come back at any moment. Like as I've been in Matthew, I just have this hopeful, expectant urgency in a way out of like love and hope, not out of fear. Like we're not preparing for his coming out of fear. Like that is the fact that Jesus is coming back is literally the best news ever, ever. And so if we can sit in that reality of like what that actually looks like and what that actually means for our daily life, I think it will bless us in so many ways and not just bless us, but bless our families. Something we're going to go into today is the importance of our secret place with God and needing that oil, needing to keep our lamps burning for him. Like we need that oil. We need to be prepared. And it's just a beautiful thing. And so, yeah, I'm really excited. I'm going to take a little sip of my coffee and my electrolytes. I'm going to get fueled up because I have a feeling we're going to chat a lot. We're going to yap a lot. And hopefully in the name of Jesus, we are going to glorify him in everything. My prayer is that you would not hear my words, but that the Holy Spirit would speak through me and anything not from him will not land in the name of Jesus, okay? Okay, guys, so we are still sitting pretty in Matthew 25, but today we're going into the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. I was reading this the other night and I was just mind blown because I have read it so many times, but for some reason it just hit me different the other night. And so then I started researching just the cultural context behind the scripture as well, because when Jesus was teaching this parable, he was teaching it to a people that this would have like hit them like a freight train. Like this is not something that like now we're having to look back and be like, okay, like, what does this like fully mean? No, this was their world. This is how they did life. And so when it talks about bridesmaids and the bridegroom and Jesus as the bridegroom coming back, like, I want you to fully just kind of sit in the visual of this. Because this was their world. The wedding was everything. Like, it was a week-long event that the whole community came to. It wasn't like an afternoon and night thing. Like, this was a big deal. So when a Jewish bridegroom came for his bride, it wasn't like a private event. The procession through the streets, it was public, it was joyful, it was torchlit at night. And so the bridesmaids were the torch bearers, and it was their job to light the way. Like, they are literally lighting the way for the bridegroom to get to his bride. Ooh, I got chills. So missing the procession wasn't just like personal embarrassment. It was a community failure. These women had one job. They needed to be ready. They needed their lamps to be lit. They needed to be present. And the whole village would have known who showed up and who did not. So being a bridesmaid was a privilege. And these women were chosen to be part of a beautiful ceremony, a beautiful picture. And so I'm going to read this, but just like keep that in mind as I read it, okay? It says this: the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. So keep in mind, you guys, this whole thing is talking about the kingdom of heaven will be like this, okay? 5 of them were foolish. 5 of them were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. And so apparently being delayed was actually kind of expected. The bridegroom's arrival was never like guaranteed. They never knew fully like what time he was coming. And so the reason this matters is because we obviously don't know when Jesus is coming back. We just have to be prepared and have enough oil to keep our lamps burning. And so the reason it could be delayed was there was like negotiations between the families that could have gone long. The preparations could have run late. Like, everyone knew this back then. This was common knowledge. So the bridesmaids wouldn't have been surprised by a delay. But even so, they all fell asleep waiting. That's totally fine. But unfortunately, what was not fine was 5 of them were not prepared. Okay. So then it says at midnight, they were roused by a shout. Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him. Which again, when we think about all of the scripture for when Jesus comes back, we don't know like when it happens, but everyone, we don't know when it's going to happen, but everyone will know when it's happening. And it says, all the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. But the others replied, we don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves. But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he called back, believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return. And I read it. I mean, I literally have chills right now because that is such a sobering, it's such a sobering story of the reason why we need to be prepared and have oil. Like, we need to stop feeling prepared because of other people's anointings or other people's oil, because it's so easy. There's so much content. I'm sitting here giving you even more content, right? But my hope and my goal is that this podcast would lead you to the secret place with him to get your oil, right? Because we can't live off of other people's revelations of God. We need our own intimacy with him. We need our own relationship with him. And that's the only way we get oil, is intimacy with him. And so I want to keep going. And I do want to touch on the fact that like the oil couldn't be shared, because it almost like when I first read it, I was like, well, that's rude. Can you please just share it with the other girls? Right. But it says this, it's like, this is the theological heart of the message. When the foolish bridesmaids asked to borrow oil, the wise ones said no. And that was the right answer. Not because they were stingy, but because oil doesn't work that way. You can't pour your intimate history with God into someone else's lamp. Like my history with God is totally different than your history with God. It's totally different than her intimacy with God and her history with God. We all have individual relationships. Just like my relationship with Chad, no one else will ever have the type of intimacy that I have with Chad, my husband. Like there's a different level of intimacy. And keep in mind, proximity is not intimacy. Intimacy is intimacy. We always say intimacy means into me you see. And we have the beautiful like invitation from God to be intimate with him. And as a mom, like this is so real to me too, because my children will need their own relationship with God. Like my prayer life is not their prayer life. So I will need to teach them how to pray. I will need to teach them how to get their own oil, how to enter the secret place with God. And I want you to ask yourself too, like, have I been living off of someone else's fire for God? Have I been looking for a word from God from other people? Or am I actually going to the word of God in the presence of God to get a word from God for me specifically? Because you have that ability, you have that invitation from God. He says, come to me, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. It's James 4:8, I think. It's like, come near, I'll come near. Like that beautiful invitation of relationship with God, intimacy with God. I even think about the verse that says, when you pray, go into the room and shut the door. And I think about, this is like probably TMI. I don't know if this is like a weird illustration, but like, when you have sex with your husband, you like go into a private room and you shut the door. It's an intimate experience. You're not inviting other people into that place. You better not be. It's sacred. And that's the same way with our Father in heaven. Like, let's have a secret, intimate moment with him. Not everything that he reveals to you in the secret place is to be shared. It's for you. It's for the relationship between you and God. And you can't live off the fire of your pastor or your small group leader or your favorite content creator. You need your own fire, your own oil, and not just for you, for your community, for your family, for your friends, to be a blessing, to be able to serve in a way that ushers in the kingdom of God. When you have the overflow of the secret place, you see different. Your eyes are more open. Your ears are more in tune. You can hear the Holy Spirit prompting. You walk into spaces totally different when you have your lamp lit. Okay, quick pause because I have to share a huge answered prayer with you guys. Talks with Tori is now partnering with Good Ranchers, and we have such an amazing discount code for you that I know is going to bless your family, because they have been blessing our family for over 4 years now. We have been using Good Ranchers since back when we lived in Florida, and we love them because it is 100% American meat delivered straight to your door. It is pasture raised, no antibiotics, no added hormones, just really good quality meat with none of the junk inside of it. And now they even have custom boxes, which has been incredible for Chad and I because we have been on such a budget the past couple of months. So we love just buying bulk, their ground beef and chicken for our weekly meals. And then we've also been having a little bit of fun ordering some steaks too, because I'm a filet girl and Chad's a ribeye guy, and it's been fun to add those in. And then obviously we have to get their chicken nuggets because they are an absolute staple in our household. Our kids eat those chicken nuggets like they're candy. They get so excited, and they're such an easy go-to lunch, a protein we know they'll actually eat and be excited about, which is such a mom win over here. So if you use our code MASTERSFAM, you'll get $25 off your first order and free meat for life, you guys, when you subscribe, which is such a crazy good deal. So you can go to goodranchers.com and then use our code MASTERSFAM to get that discount. And it's just perfect for springtime, especially if you're planning any kind of get-togethers. You can feel really good about the meat that you're putting on the table for your loved ones. And you can take all the guesswork out of the meat aisle because you already have everything in your freezer ready to go. Honestly, we've just noticed it has been so much easier to plan our meals when we have our Good Ranchers box, and nothing is going bad. And I also just want to include this. Chad and I are such huge fans of Ben and Coralie, who actually own Good Ranchers. They are the kind of people that you want to get behind. Coralie is actually going to come on Talks with Tori and share her absolutely incredible testimony. I literally have chills going down my body just thinking about that episode. And so I just want you guys to know that it means a lot to me when I choose who sponsors or who partners with Talks with Tori. And Good Ranchers is just one of these companies that I just know you guys are going to enjoy not only their products, but the people behind the products too. We know what we like. We get to order it monthly, and it's just been such a blessing to our family. And I know it will be a blessing to yours too. So goodranchers.com, code MASTERSFAM. American meat delivered straight to your door. You know, like when you really think about that, like think about you're walking through a street at night, or like you can't see, you need your fire burning to be able to see spiritually what you need to see to be effective for his kingdom. Okay. And then I really want to break down this part too. The line that's the most sobering, where it says, I don't know you. Because there's a ton of different verses in scripture where God says that there will be people that get up to heaven and he will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. And it almost makes me want to cry, because I genuinely believe that there's so many people in the church world that they're doing all the right things. They're going to the service, they're maybe serving on a team, but they don't have intimacy with God. They don't actually have like any type of personal relationship with God, where it's like, you can't just know about God. You can't be just reading about the word of God. You need to be entering into a space with God, reading his word, learning about his character in order to know him fully as a person, to know him and be known by him. That is relationship. Again, that is not like proximity. That is intimacy. I think a lot of times, because we live in a social media world, we almost think that we know people that we don't actually know, because we see like little bits and pieces of their life and we feel like we know them. But it's totally different if that person invites you into their home and you are literally sitting on the couch having a heart-to-heart, getting to know each other. Like, that's why I'm really actually very excited about opening up the call line and hearing your voice, because then it feels a little bit more like a two-way conversation. Like, I'm not just talking to you. I'm also like getting feedback from you, right? Like, I'm learning more about you and what you're walking through. And that's how you create relationship, right? Like, that's how relationships are born. It's a two-way intimate experience. I'm sharing my heart with you. You're sharing your heart with me. And like, what a beautiful thing that the Father wants to share his heart with us. Like, the creator of the universe, the most divine being to ever exist, will ever exist, all glory, all majesty. Like, our eyes are not even prepared for the glory that is God. And he wants to share his secrets with us in the secret place. Like he wants to share his heart with us. Like what an honor, like what a privilege that he wants to share his heart with us. Like he wants to share things with you, that he has a word just for you, his daughter. And just like how I think about when I have to like remove one child from a situation, just have like a heart to heart with them. That's God with us. He says he disciplines the one he loves, right? And I think about when I have three children and sometimes I have to remove one child, take them into a different room, get down on their level, look at them like eye to eye and have a conversation with them, give them a word that is going to help them navigate the hardship that they're going through. It's the same thing with our God. He wants to take us out of our everyday noise, right? The distractions, the pulls, the things that where you feel like everyone needs different things from you at all times. And he's like, no, come away with me. Come away with me, he says. I have something for you, a gift. He has gifts for you in the secret place. Things he wants to share with you, things he wants to bless you with. It says he sings songs of joy over you. Like, let that sink in. What? He sings songs of joy over me. He delights in me. And I think that that takes all the guilt, all the shame of like, have I not been doing enough for God? No, this is an invitation, a beautiful invitation to come away with the God that delights over you. He delights in your presence. You're not just invited, you're wanted by him. There is a seat for you at the table. Like it has been prepared for you. You are invited. You are wanted. And when you get there, he delights in your presence. You know the difference of being invited, but then getting there and feeling like your presence doesn't really matter or you're not really wanted in the room. Like it's a very awkward encounter. It's not a feeling I desire, right? Like that's just not a fun feeling. But in the kingdom of God, in his throne room, he says, I am inviting you into my throne room. I want you here. I delight in your presence. I created you, so I want to know you. I want you to share everything with me. Like, wow, how beautiful is that invitation from our God that we take for granted so often and think that the secret place is just something that is like okay, I did my devotional. I checked it off my list. I was partly distracted. I was slightly scrolling, but like I did my due diligence. What a waste. I mean, it's not that it's like wasted. I hope you don't hear me say that, but like, I just think we're missing it. Like we're missing the fullness of what he has for us. Like there's this fullness of joy. There's this fullness of experience with him that we could be walking into, we could be giddy and excited about, and maybe we just have it on our to-do list of something to complete rather than to enter into with joy and excitement and expectancy to meet with the one who loves us the most. Like there is literally no one, our mothers, our fathers, our husbands, our children, no one loves us the same as our heavenly Father. No one does. Like we have different relationships that can mirror or show us like glimpses into how God loves us. Maybe some of those I do want to honor. Like maybe some of those relationships in your life have not mirrored the love of the Father at all. And I want to just like hold space and like apologize for that. Like I hate that. And that's not the heart of God either. We do live in a broken, sinful world. But God is so much better, guys. Like humans are messy, therefore human relationships will be messy. But like God is not messy. God is perfect. His love is perfect. And we will go through experiences here on earth that are so far from perfect, but his love is perfect. Okay, I want to get back to this text too, because this is not about any sort of like behavior modification. I do want to say this. This is about being known by God. You are his. And so I do want to get back to the fact that Jesus called himself the bridegroom. And his audience would have caught that immediately, because in the Old Testament, God repeatedly described himself as the bridegroom of Israel. You can go back to Isaiah 62:5 or Hosea 2:16 if you're writing down some notes. But it says, I am the bridegroom. I am the one you've been waiting for, and I am coming back. So this isn't just like a moral lesson about preparedness. It's a love story. It's a love story with urgency attached to it, that we are the bride and the wedding is coming. The wedding is coming, okay? And so this oil that we get to cultivate in the secret place, it is not a performance. It is not a checklist. It is about the fact that he already has his eye on you. You don't have to earn God's attention whatsoever. You just have to be with him. Like, sometimes my favorite times with Chad is not even like when we're having a heart to heart. It's just like when we're together and it's quiet and he's holding me. Maybe I've had a hard day and he just like embraces me. We just like sit there together and he holds me. And I just want you to know that, like, maybe you've had a hard day and you just need to be embraced by God. He wants to embrace you. He wants you to enter into the secret place with him so he can just hold you. That no tear is wasted with God. He holds every tear and he meets you there. He is near to the brokenhearted. And he just wants to love on you as his daughter, as his bride. I mean, there's a reason why he describes it as the bride and a bridegroom, because there's no more intimate relationship than a wife and her husband. And so there is this intimacy level with the Father that he is inviting us into. And sometimes it's hard to like wrap our mind around, but he is our Father. He is our love. There's this deepness of connection that is available to you with him, and it's beautiful. Matthew 6:6, this is the verse I was like paraphrasing earlier. It says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So what happens in the secret room, it's not invisible to him. It's precious to him. It is, it's something that you carry when you come out too. Like, there is a different, like, I walk different when Chad and I have had intimacy. I know that sounds kind of funny, but like when we have been able to connect on a deeper level, and you just see it in our home. Like, there's just something different, the way we love, the way we speak to each other, the way we're speaking with our children, the way our children see us love each other, when we've had space to be intimate, to love on each other, to have heart to hearts, to truly like foster our relationship. It is important to our home, our household. And that's why, yeah, maybe we should just do a whole different episode like on intimacy and sex, because we used to talk about that actually a lot on YouTube. If you've been here for a while, we did a whole series on like the truth about sex and the power that, you know, sex has. And I just don't think it's talked about enough in the church. And so if y'all want that, comment below, maybe do a little call in line. We will always have that number below if you want to call and like leave a voicemail, and I will respond to it on a Talks with Tori. I'm recording this before we've even launched. And so like these episodes don't have any of those yet, but I'm really excited to have those as part of this. But yeah, I just want you guys to know that there's not like a specific formula for what your secret place with God should look like. We all connect in different ways. We all light up with different things. Like I think about the fact that David danced, but Mary sat at Jesus's feet. Elijah heard God in a whisper, but Hannah wept so hard she looked drunk. Like the common thread isn't the posture. It's the fact that we're in the presence of God. And that's why you can go into different churches and worship looks totally different. Like I'm definitely, when I worship the Lord, like my hands are raised. Like half the time I'm crying, right? But other people, like maybe they're on their knees or maybe they're in their word. Like there's different ways that we connect with the Father because our personalities are different. And that's beautiful that there's no perfect way. And I'm never going to be here to tell you like, this is how you should do it, X, Y, and Z. I'm going to give you tools. I'm going to give you resources. I'm going to tell you what helps me. But like your intimacy with the Father is your intimacy with the Father. It's how you connect with him best. And you will know that because after you connect with him, you will feel the fullness. Like your lamp will be lit. Your fire will be burning and you'll feel the difference. And everyone around you will notice too, because you're going to carry a different kind of joy, a different kind of patience. And it's important, you guys, because the bridegroom is coming. Like present tense, future certainty, it's already settled. Acts 1:11 says, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." And I think that, you know, talking about the second coming, a lot of times it can come off as this like fear-mongering thing. And it's like, no, this is not supposed to make you feel anxious. The coming of Christ should make you feel alive. It shouldn't make you feel fear. It should make you feel excited, like full of love, full of joy, full of hope. And that's the difference. And it's beautiful because he's coming for you. And that's literally the best news ever. Literally the best news ever. I wrote this down because there's a difference and I want us to lean into this before we close out. Urgency from fear looks like striving to be good enough before he comes back, like a spiritual to-do list driven by guilt, anxiety about whether you've done enough, and living in dread instead of anticipation. But urgency from love, from hope, from excitement looks like tending your secret place because you want more of him. Not because you're scared of what happens if you don't. And it's sharing your faith because you are genuinely excited that people can be set free. And that's literally the whole reason Talks with Tori came back is because I'm genuinely so excited to see his daughters set free, living fully free from shame, from guilt, from anything that's holding you back, tethered to your past, and like genuinely walking in the full freedom of his forgiveness, like actually operating from the finished work of the cross. And so, yeah, y'all, expectancy, it's not the same as anxiety. Urgency, not the same as striving. You're not trying to earn your seat at the wedding. You are invited. But we just have to make sure that our lamp is burning when he walks through the door. Yeah. John 7:38 says, "Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within." Rivers of living water will flow from within them. The water is flowing from within, not from the stage, not from the platform, not from the role she holds, from within, which means it has to be internal. It has to be cultivated. It has to be tended to. And so I know I keep saying this and I really, truly am just trying to take any ounce of like, I grew up in pageants and dance. And so something that I like personally struggle with sometimes is trying to perform And I don't want to perform for you here on Talks with Tori. Like, I genuinely just want you to feel like I'm just talking to you. And this part's important because it did say in the text that the door does shut, which culturally, like, that happened. Like, once the door was shut, they locked the door and people, like, couldn't get in anymore. And there is a reality of heaven and hell, and there is a time where the door will be shut. And that's what should fuel us to tell people about the good news of God, because heaven and hell are really real. And again, like, not in a fear way. Like, the fact that heaven is real is the most exciting thing ever. But I can say, I feel like with, like, somewhat certainty that there's probably people that you know that don't know Jesus. And sometimes the way we live our life will either lead them closer to God or further away from God. Like, there's a reason why, unfortunately, Christians get this, like, hypocrite label so often. And we really do need to be making sure that our oil is continually being refilled, because that's the point of oil. Like, it burns, right? Like, that's why they needed extra oil, is because, like, as the lamp is burning, like, as the fire is on fire, the oil is burning. And so you have to continually be refilling your oil. And so I don't know what that looks like for you, but his mercies are new every morning. The way you come to him and get your oil, like, that's going to be something that you figure out, right? But this is like love with stakes, right? Like, a doctor who sees someone who has cancer and says nothing, like, that's not loving. And so we do need to be telling people about Jesus. We do need to be loving like Jesus. We do need to be serving like Jesus. And so we need to be praying that he would help us do that through the work of his Holy Spirit, and not later, not when things settle down, not 3 to 5 years from now, today. Like, I used to, gosh, when I was living in sin back in high school, college, I used to have this, like, lie in my head of, like, oh, I'll live fully for Jesus, like, later on in life, but I'm having, quote unquote, too much fun living in sin. And gosh, that just, like, breaks my heart that was my mentality. And the shame that I just got wrapped up in for so long after that season. And maybe you're there, like, maybe you're there where you're like, oh, I'll live fully for Jesus once I get through this season of life. Sister, please don't agree or come into agreement with that lie, because tomorrow really isn't promised. And the scripture is clear that the door will shut and the Father will say, like, I knew you or I didn't know you. And he wants to know you. Like, the invitation to be known by him is open. It's open for you right now. It's open for you today. It's open for your loved ones. And yeah, just that reality really, really should, like, fuel us to continually have our oil refilled all the time. And so I wrote down this question that I want you guys to ask yourself today. I'll pretty much always have a question for you to ask. It says, are you in a season of refilling or in a season of running on fumes? Because both are real. Neither are a verdict. But one of them requires some honest attention right now. And if I'm being honest, about a month ago, I was in a season of just running on fumes. And praise the Lord that he just, like, grabbed my heart and was like, no, we need to start refilling your oil. And so, and I can tell, like, even throughout the day when I'm like, okay, oil is running low. Like, I need to enter into his presence in some way. I need to invite him back into this space in my home, because I can tell that I'm just running on fumes. And I do want y'all to know that it doesn't have to be an hour. It doesn't have to be like a certain thing. It doesn't have to look the same in every season. Like, my intimacy with God looked different before I had kids, and now it looks like later into the night when my kids are asleep. And sometimes it can look like before they wake up, but sometimes I'm woken up by my kids, and that's really real. And so I have to find breaks in time, or Chad and I will be like, okay, you take the kids for, you know, 30 minutes, or like, hey, why don't you go take a drive? Like, we have to be strategic about how we get to the secret place in this season. But just because we have to be strategic doesn't mean like we're not get, like we have to do that. Like, we will prioritize what's important to us. And the secret place with God needs to be priority. Like, it needs to take precedence in your life. And it just means that we keep returning. We need to just keep returning. God, I need a refill. God, please refill my cup. I need more oil, God, please refill me. And it's real. And he knows your struggles. He knows your season. He's not surprised by any of it. And so he'll meet you, and his grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient, and it is made perfect in your weakness. And so on the days you feel like you just literally can't keep going, but then you get to the end of the day and you realize you did, thank God. Thank God for his grace. And it really does, like, make you realize, oh wow, like, thank you for your Holy Spirit, that like, I know that that was you that got me through that moment. I know that it was you that got me through that day or that season, because I felt weak, but you made me strong. And when I thought I couldn't do it, I actually did, but it was through you. And praise God for that. And so before we close out, I want to pray, because obviously. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this space. We just pray that you would show us more of you as we enter into the secret place with you, God, that you would refill our oil so that our lamps will keep on burning. God, I pray that you would give us eyes to see in the spiritual realm. The people that you want us to speak into, the people that you want us to serve. God, but also would you just give us like a word from you? Lord, we want deep intimacy with you, God. We don't want to think that other people's fire, other people's oil is our offering to you, God. We know that we need our own offering to you. Because you are worthy. You are literally worthy of it all, God. So we surrender it all to you today. We surrender our to-do lists. We surrender our anxieties, our fears, our worries, our desires, our dreams, our goals, God. We surrender it all to you because your hands are more than capable of holding it. And your hands hold us, God. I pray for the girl that just needs a touch from you, God, that you would embrace her right now, God, that she would like physically feel your arms wrapped around her right now, God, that she would maybe just like fall into your embrace, and that she would just feel fully known, fully seen by you. Just wrapped in your arms, God. True intimacy, known by you, that she would recognize that she is known by you, God, her Heavenly Father, the bridegroom coming for her. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for your word, God. Would we open it with hearts expectant to hear you? That you would share your heart with us. That you would share and whisper your secrets to us, God, as we enter the secret place with you. Would you help us cultivate it? Would you help us tend to it, God, so that we would be like rivers overflowing with living water that can bless our loved ones, God? Would you help us be a light? Would you help us walk with your spirit that people would see us, but not actually see us, they'd see you, that they would look at us and be like, what's different about that girl? And it's literally only Jesus. I pray that this week you would open opportunities for us to talk about you, and that you would give us eyes to see those opportunities and the courage to go for it, to speak the hard truth in love, because it is actually the most loving thing ever, to share the good news, the greatest news ever, that we have a God that loves us, that we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, that died so that we could be in relationship with you, died and rose again, living, breathing, active, coming back for us. Lord, we thank you for this truth. We thank you for who you are. We pray all these things in the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, you guys. I love you so much. Thanks for tuning in. Let me know if you're like watching this on YouTube or you're listening to wherever you listen to your podcasts. I'm just honored that you would, you know, set aside this time. I know that you live your busy life, and I just don't take it for granted that you have given me the space to speak into you. And so, yeah, if there was anything that was super encouraging or convicting, or you had some type of revelation, I would love to hear from you. Genuinely, if it's either on the call line or just in a comment, I really do want this to feel like a big community of God's daughters. So anyways, I'll see you in the next episode. Love you. Bye.